State Representative Katrina Shanklin. She is a Democrat in the Wisconsin State Assembly.
Hi there.
Representing Stevens Point, Representative Shanklin. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Isn't it great living in a state where we're bound by such strong ethical rules?
Well, Wisconsin has been known to have some of the strongest ethics laws in the nation, and what's ironic about that is so many of them have been stripped away, and it appears to have been also broken by Republican legislators before they did strip many of our ethics laws away.
So, I've been listening to a lot of Republicans on talk radio and other venues speak over the last week, and they seem to think that the biggest story out of The Guardian is that somebody leaked these documents to the media. Now they want to put a focus on whoever leaked the documents as opposed to dealing with some of the other pretty serious issues in the document dump. What stood out the most to you?
What stood out the most to me was so many times in many different emails was the coordination expressly and explicitly referred to. There wasn't just a hint about coordination. They referred to the C4 as the governor's C4, as his C4, as your C4. And that's exactly, you know, what I think should be looked at again. Now, I think on Saturday night it was revealed that one of the prosecutors in the John Doe was not aware of the $750,000 donation from the lead paint corporate owner who, also had lobbied the governor and Republicans.
You're referring to Francis Schmidt.
Right, yep, and he had said, I wasn't aware of that. And so the question is, if one of the prosecutors doesn't know about a $750,000 check from a lead paint company that was working on, lobbying the legislature to roll back potential lawsuits regarding lead paint liability, there's some questions raised. I think at the very least, we need to look at those again. And in addition to that, that many emails that showed the governor talking about bragging in many cases about getting donations, these were corporate donations directly out of corporate treasuries. And at the time, corporate donations were not allowed to any campaign committee, period. Yet the governor wasn't, it appears through the documents, was not only soliciting these corporate donations, but then bragging about getting them. For example, I got $1 million from John Menard, he said in one email. Well, that $1 million went to the Club for Growth. So how does that not potentially show that not only was there a direct coordination, but that the governor was one of the primary fundraisers for the C4 that he was not allowed to communicate with, let alone coordinate with?
So does the content of these ads have any standing in a case like this? In other words, the Wisconsin Club for Growth will say they're an issue advocacy group, and yet this money was spent during elections for the recalled state senators. Many of the ads weren't issue based. Does that have some standing in this situation?
Yeah, it's a good question, because if you look at tax law, these C4s should not be as involved in express advocacy. Yet many of the ads that were run by these groups were apparently coordinating with the Walker campaign and potentially engaging in express advocacy. If you look at, what CMD, the Center for Media and Democracy, has looked at, what the Brennan Center for Justice has been talking about. And so I think if you look at the content of the 2011 and 2012 ads, as well as the emails that were being exchanged about how the governor could fundraise for these recalls, yet he was asking for corporate money, which wasn't allowed, to benefit these legislators.
His staffer literally put out a memo saying, get corporate cash, right? It's pretty clear.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Get the Cokes money. And then on top of that, to see them down the road potentially pass legislation that could, you could argue, benefit these same people who are bankrolling their campaigns. Lead paint giveaways, mining giveaways, but also there are a few others. There was a payday lending one. So there's a lot of questions here, and many more questions than answers. And there's a reason why Republicans are being so quiet about the content of this information, about the content of this leak, because they know it looks bad and it has the appearance, at a minimum, at a very minimum, the appearance of corruption. And why else would they have spent the last legislative session, instead of spending time focusing on their constituents and giving them fair wages and good jobs, instead they spent time insulating themselves and ensuring their re-elections by rolling back campaign finance laws and allowing corporate contributions for the first time in recent history, and changing coordination laws and exempting themselves from John Doe investigations for political corruption? I mean, their agenda could not be clearer here. And it's really, it's a sad couple weeks, a sad few years for Wisconsin.
So it's kind of funny, because if we look back at this time period and Wisconsin's recall election, the target of a recall has unlimited resources with hard money from individuals. In other words, if Scott Walker had just gone out and solicited individuals, he really could have had a pretty easy time raising a lot of cash, because they didn't put limits on that. He didn't even really need to do this.
I think it just shows in so many ways that we've seen Republican legislators and the governor spend time feathering their own nest and going after their own re-elections and insulating themselves and then changing the law instead of focusing on the real matters at hand. And you're right, they did not need to accept corporate contributions, yet it sure seems through these emails that the governor was directly asking for them. And it also appears that after that, he directly made sure that his donors received some kind of return on investment via legislation. I mean, there's a clear pattern here, and it sure smells like pay to play for me, but that's for many other people to decide too.
Well, what they're going to say is that Scott Walker was soliciting money for the Club for Growth, not for himself, but these legislators who were under threat of recall. But he clearly benefited from it as well. Not to mention, here's the question I have. He says he doesn't do this anymore. He doesn't raise money for the Wisconsin Club for Growth anymore. Why not? Where was the turning point there? Did I miss something?
Yeah, hey, that's a good question. And I think the other point of information here that's been revealed in the leak was there were memo lines on the checks written to Wisconsin Club for Growth. And there were many references to the governor, the most notorious one being, quote, because Scott Walker asked. But there were also other references like, quote, per Governor Walker, quote, Scott Walker Project, quote, to fight the Walker recall. So, if the governor wasn't soliciting, if this wasn't for him, why did he send out an email asking his campaign staff, quote, did I send out thank you notes to all of our C4 donors? There was no need for him to be doing this. And, if it weren't such an issue, if it didn't at least have the appearance of corruption, then why last week did he say, well, I'm not doing that anymore? It's a very interesting quandary. It's a very interesting question that I think every Republican legislator who voted for the last budget, the 13-15 budget that included the lead paint giveaway, needs to answer. I want to know how many Republican legislators who voted for that terrible corporate giveaway knew about what was in that budget and knew about why it was in there.
Russ Feingold frequently refers to what's happened in Wisconsin over the last 6 years as a corporate takeover. This certainly would be a great illustration of it, wouldn't it be?
I think so. I mean, to watch just about every branch of government involved in this in some way, shape, or form due to the Republican corruption, in my opinion, it looks like the governor solicited massive corporate contributions, which was, at the time, potentially a violation of campaign finance law. So then, that same Club for Growth, which was coordinating apparently with the governor, then put money into Supreme Court justice races. And then, by what appears to be no coincidence in my mind, they declared those same campaign finance laws that potentially the governor broke unenforceable, so no one would be prosecuted. And then this session, the Republicans voted to exempt themselves from John Doe investigations for political corruption. So, it's a long line over the past 4 or 5 years of what I would not call coincidence. And the people of Wisconsin need to look at this and decide, do we want to go down this road? Do we want to become the Illinois of, Wisconsin politics? Who wants that?
I have news for you. We're beginning to make Illinois look like Iceland. Okay?
I think they're blushing. I know. I think they're looking north and blushing at us. And what's so sad about this is, for years, people have been talking about these John Does. We've been asking these tough questions. And it takes, you know, a leak to outline some of this information. And so, you know, as we move forward, we Democrats have called for an investigation, and we've called for a legislative hearing on this. We think the Judiciary Committee should sit down and investigate this very clearly. We also think that the people of Wisconsin need to hold their elected officials accountable and ask the tough questions regarding why were these giveaways in here, and why did these Republican legislators vote for it? Why did they vote for the lead paint giveaway?
State Representative Katrina Shanklin, she's a Democrat from Stevens Point, talking about a variety of issues of pay-to-play. Last time I had you on, you very eloquently talked about these high-capacity wells and how it was devastating your portion of the state. Can you give us an update on that?
Sure. So in 2016, we've had a lot of kind of wait-and-see policies happening in the legislature, and a lot happened very quickly in May and June of this year. So in the legislature, we have had several different groundwater bills up for debate, and the Republicans have been leaning heavily toward almost no regulation for the users of water who use the most, of course. And so basically what Speaker Voss did is he decided to use the Attorney General's office to get his way by requesting an Attorney General opinion on high-capacity wells and whether or not the DNR had the legal authority to consider the cumulative impacts, so the full effects of a high-capacity well on a lake, river, or stream, or another well around it. And, of course, his buddy, the Attorney General, Brad Schimmel, said, nope, the DNR does not have the authority to consider these, which means that our lakes, rivers, streams, and private well water are all at risk in the long run with more and more high-capacity wells being placed in my area of the state, the Central Sands. Since the Attorney General's opinion is non-binding, the DNR had the authority itself to not follow it. And they absolutely could have done the right thing and sided with science over what's essentially, you know, political opinion. But instead, they chose to follow the advisory guidance of, you know, an elected official who I would say is playing partisan politics over what was a unanimous Wisconsin State Supreme Court ruling in 2011 that said the DNR not only has the legal authority to consider this, but also has the duty to. So instead of the DNR now considering the effects on our beautiful lakes, rivers, and streams, which brings in, you know, you can argue about $20 billion of tourism each year, now the DNR is saying, you know what, we don't have the authority to consider that. So when we issue a high-capacity well permit, we're only going to look at a couple things. And so that's really disappointing, because this decision has essentially pitted private property owners, anglers, outdoor enthusiasts, and sporting heritage people against large industrial agriculture. And that's a really sad thing for the state of Wisconsin. We benefit from agriculture. We also benefit from tourism. And we shouldn't have any public policy that's set by, you know, an elected official like the Attorney General giving a non-binding advisory opinion. The legislature really needs to act. And so we're going to be having what I would assume is going to be a very vigorous debate when we get back in January about water rights and how water should be and actually is in Wisconsin a constitutional right, and everyone deserves equal access to it.
So what's your next step? Is there anything you can do?
Well, I think what we need to do is take this one to the people. I think that we need to argue more and more about the fact that water isn't a privilege, it's a right, and it's all guaranteed to us in our state constitution via the public trust doctrine. So I think if we talk to more people about it, think about like the lake associations, the people who live on this private property in places like Washera County, where their lakes are drying up. And so I think that they need to speak up more, and they're definitely getting more and more politically active as the years go on, and they see the situation getting worse and worse. But we also need the anglers to come to the table, and they've been testifying in the Capitol. I think that we need a broader and stronger coalition, and I've seen this coalition form in the years that I've been in the legislature, but I think that this needs to be about the rights for everyone. I don't want to see any public policy set for just a small group of people, and I do think we need to leverage more people around the state. Just because this is a fight in the central sands right now doesn't mean that in the future this won't affect Beloit, or this won't affect Superior, or this won't affect Hudson. This will affect all of us, from Wausau to Rhinelander to Green Bay and beyond. And we really need to make this a statewide issue and have everyone recognize that water is their right. And once they forfeit it, they can't get it back.
Well, I can't believe it's just liberals and Democrats being adversely affected by this policy.
Exactly. And, you know, if you look at the Central Sands and some of the lake associations that have started getting involved, I've had some of these people tell me, they'll say to me, you know what, Katrina, I'm a Republican. I haven't voted for a Democrat my entire life, but I'm finally going to do it because they're the only ones who care about this issue. And that should scare the Republicans into acting, I would hope. But I've seen them act so many times in the legislature contrary to public opinion, whether it's, you know, exempting themselves from political corruption investigations to adding more money into politics. They sure seem to be doing a lot of unpopular things. And so, again, I do think that this needs to become even more of a statewide issue. And we've seen a lot more investigative journalism regarding the groundwater debate this year because people are recognizing, you know, the Little Plover River, for example, has been named in the top 10 most endangered rivers in the nation. They're starting to take a look at that. They're also starting to take a look at some of the rivers and lakes that are disappearing in the Central Sands and asking, you know, what's going to happen next. And when you combine that with, you know, in Kewaunee County, about 1 in 3 of the tested drinking water wells that they tested in Kewaunee for drinking water viability were polluted. You know, they either had coliform bacteria, E. coli, or nitrates to the point where you couldn't drink it. That's a serious issue, and we need to talk about water quality as well. And I think if we engage these people in Kewaunee County and Portage County and Wood County and Adams County, and then, you know, ask other people across the state, like Bayfield County, who also has a water issue right now, to talk about their water issues, I think that a broad coalition of people from diverse backgrounds will really help amplify the importance of accessing safe and enough water.
Well, whether it be the fracking issue in western Wisconsin and the damage that that's done, or these high-capacity wells, I have to believe that Gaylord Nelson is turning over in his grave. I know he was cremated, but he's still turning over in his grave.
I think that we have such a proud tradition of environmental heritage and stewardship. You know, and stewardship used to be a bipartisan word, and I'm starting to wonder what happened to those Republicans who championed clean water and public lands and parks, and we need more of that, you know? I don't know what happened to the Republican Party, but they sure don't seem to value clean water like I see Democrats championing it, and we need more people across the state to speak up and demand that their legislators represent them and actually value clean water and enough water when they go to the Capitol and take those votes.
Well, if you were to listen to the first portion of my interview with you and then this last 10 minutes in this conversation, the two actually fit quite neatly together, don't they?
They're so connected. And, you know, at the end of the day, people need to follow the money, and they need to look at who has the strongest voice in the Capitol. It's usually the groups that have the money. And so we need to fix that. If there's one thing that we could do to fix it, it would be to get out the vote in November. And, you know, eventually we need to overturn Citizens United and get money out of politics.
Katrina, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We'll talk again real soon. Katrina Shanklin, State Representative from lovely Stevens Point.
Slysoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.